Mood Arthur memes. Welcome to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast.
I like Arthur. That's okay, right?
Catch up after last week's episode. The Cavs have gone meme crazy. First, it started with LeBron posting the Arthur fist meme in anger when Kyrie Irving was having a good game. And when asked about it by ESPN's Dave McMenamin, he said, "I just like Arthur." Well, the Cavs just came back from a 23-point deficit to beat the New York Knicks in the Garden. And after the game, Isaiah Thomas posted a happy picture of Arthur. Dwayne Wade posted an Arthur picture, and so did Channing Frye. Which begs the question, is this going to get the credit from the Cavs' Twitter sphere and the internet that their dumb, overrated bowling trip did a few years ago? I don't know, but maybe if they can play like they did in the fourth quarter, and they string off like 15 wins, it won't really matter, and we can give all the credit to Arthur. I'm fine with that. You know, the Cavs last week was rough in some points. They lost the Rockets, which isn't that big of a deal because they always lose to Houston, but it was a close game, and you know, it was the first game this season that they tried in that they lost. So in a weird way, that makes it hurt more, but I never thought they would go into Houston to win, and they didn't. That's fine. And then over the weekend, they had to pull it out in like a monumental effort out of Kevin Love and Kyle Korver to somehow beat one of the worst teams in the NBA in Dallas. And then again last night, LeBron's always great. You know, I'm not disrespecting him by not dwelling on that. But Kyle Korver once again had to be the guy in the fourth quarter to get hot, start making shots, and basically win the game for the Cavs. They were shooting 33% at halftime. And in the going in the fourth quarter, I think it was close to that. Kyle Korver hadn't done much, and then he got hot. He scored 21 points, I think it was, in the fourth quarter. And basically, three-point shot his way to the Cavs getting a victory over the New York Knicks, who are somehow now their arch rivals. Because after the Dallas game, LeBron said that the Knicks should have drafted Dennis Smith Jr., and they all took it personally. Enes Kanter, who wasn't even on the Knicks last season, he was playing for Oklahoma City, stood up for Frank Nicoletta, who is the guy the Knicks took instead of Dennis Smith Jr. He called LeBron a queen and princess after the game. They had a little altercation during it. And Enes Kanter is a big dude. And I said this to my buddy Stan the Man in the Bay Area. I think like in 1992, he would have been an all-star with his amazing post moves and scoring ability, but he doesn't play any defense and he doesn't do anything except post up and score in the post. And he's just now at this point, kind of like an NBA meme. He's fought the dictator of Turkey and he's doing all these great things in his home country and stuff like that. There's no point in fighting a guy on the court because he was trying to make fun of Phil Jackson. It was just stupid and overblown. It's clear the Cavs, they don't know what they're going to get from game to game from all their players. And I think the key point in this is that it's become very apparent how much they need a point guard. And I know Isaiah Thomas the Lesser isn't exactly known as some sort of major distributor or creator, but they went from Derrick Rose, who is a tunnel vision going straight to the hole, never passing, never setting up anything, to now running it through Iman Shumpert and Dwayne Wade. And if you are a longtime listener of the show, you know how I feel about Iman Shumpert handling the ball. He had so many open shots because the Knicks decided, hey, we don't ever have to guard him at the three. It's Iman Shumpert. He played here. We remember how bad he sucks at shooting threes. Missed over and over. It felt like the Cavs had 28 turnovers in the first half. It was embarrassing. Dwayne Wade turned it over so much when he was playing point guard. And it just makes me, I can't believe I'm saying this again, but they need Isaiah Thomas the Lesser. I need Isaiah Thomas the Lesser because I can't watch this pitiful point guard play anymore. I mean, I know LeBron basically runs the point. He handles the ball and distributes. But when he's not out there, it's atrocious, and the Cavs are old and slow enough that if they turn it over like that, and they were turning it over outside the three-point line, it's basically a guaranteed layup on the other end, and it gets really old to watch. And I honestly didn't think their defense has been as horrible as it usually is, at least against the Knicks. And even against the Rockets, who are a really good scoring offensive team. But if they turn over the ball like that, it's a layup the other way. And I get the Cavs don't even care, because they don't even make an effort to go after it. And I'm not even too worried about their defense overall, because once LeBron starts trying, which won't happen till the playoffs, it'll make everybody else seem a lot better. And that's why it's not that big of a concern, because LeBron, he just doesn't. He'll just stand there and dare a guy to shoot a three. And it's kind of aggravating, but then he puts up almost a triple-double in every game and single-handedly wins games for them they shouldn't be winning. And I'll take it. You know, that's trade-off you got to live with. The Cavs are an interesting spot. They could run off a bunch of wins and change the perspective of how their team's playing, or they could lose the next stretch of games. They got the Hornets on Wednesday, and they have a lot of trouble with point guards, so Kemba Walker might have a big game. And one of the biggest problems with Kevin Love playing at center, which was shown tonight against the Knicks, is that against a guy with the size of Porzingis, or even Enes Kanter for that matter, he just has a very hard time defending them. And Dwight Howard might be an issue for him on that Wednesday game against the Hornets. And then on Friday, they play the Clippers, where he'll be in the same case with DeAndre Jordan. Maybe we'll even see Zizic get some action against him. I don't know. But that's the interesting thing about the Cavs right now. It's November 14th, and we honestly don't know from game to game what the team will play like and if they will be competitive or not. And it's kind of exciting, because you can't really bet on the Cavs. And maybe we've gotten complacent with how good they've just been over the last 3 years. But if you remember that first year, the Big Three, they were 19-20 at one point in the season. And it was aggravating, exciting, and must-watch basketball. And right now, that's the way the Cavs are. They don't have a point guard. The team barely knows each other, and there's clear issues on both sides of the floor. But you know what? It's exciting. Because, again, as we all know, unless there's an injury, no team in the NBA can beat the Golden State Warriors. So we might as well have a good time for 82 games. And right now, even though it's bad and I should be upset, I'm kind of loving the Cavs season. I'm kind of loving the fact that one game Jay Crowder can look like a crucial piece of a championship team, and the next game he can look completely lost. And I'm kind of loving how Kevin Love will swap between 30-point and like a 30-point game, and then a game where it seems like he doesn't show up, then another 30-point game, and then a game where it doesn't seem like he'll show up. Maybe he'll get them all together, maybe he won't. But either way, it's fun. And that's what we watch basketball for, to have a good time, to enjoy our team, to forget about our problems, and to think about the Cavs taking the subway in New York and posting Arthur memes and LeBron James fighting rookies and Enes Kanter. I mean, it's November, and the Cavs season has never been this exciting in the first month for a while. I mean, probably since they had that Kendrick Lamar concert and played the Knicks and lost on their opening night at home. That's the way it's been, and I can't wait to see what happens the rest of the season. That's going to be it for this episode. I want to tell you guys there is a new schedule now. The show is going to be out Tuesdays and Fridays, and I'm planning on sticking with that for the foreseeable future. Now, in the ideal world, they'll be up at like 12:01 a.m. on Tuesday and Friday. But in a realistic world, they'll be out sometime that day. I can't promise you anything more than that. And I hope you still keep listening to the show. Tell your friends. Share it. Give me some feedback. I got a lot of comments from a bunch of different people after the first episode of season 4 last week. So send me your feedback. You know, I got an email here. I think it's c4pod@chrisclem.net. I got a phone number. You can call that. You can hit me up on Twitter @chris_clem. If you know me, you can text me or send me a Facebook message, whatever you want. I'm going to try to get some guests coming on pretty soon, and I'm going to get some of the more creative and interesting episodes going, because when I'm just talking about the Cavs, it's basically just a snarkier talk radio show. And I think I have good takes, but let's not just leave it at that, because there's 100 places you could get takes from that are probably more educated than mine. But either way, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you on Friday. Go Cavs. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
Been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.